Hello and welcome to Parsha for Non-Rebbetzins, where we spend up to 5 minutes discussing Parshas HaShavua, so you don't come to the table thinking, wait, what Parsha is it this week? We'll start with a brief recap of the Parsha and then move on to a short thought. I'm Esther Kurtz, your resident non-Rebbetzin, and let's do this.
Parshas Va'aschanan continues in the recap vein that Sefer Devarim is. Moshe shares how he begged Hashem to let him enter Eretz Yisrael. But alas, Hashem said no, allowing Moshe to only see the land from a mountain. Moshe then urges Bnei Yisrael to follow the Torah exactly as it is, never adding or detracting. He reminds them of what happened with Baal Peor, showing how those who stayed true to Hashem were the ones who made it through. Moshe emphasizes the incredible value of Torah, urging Bnei Yisrael to treasure it and to never forget the day they received it at Har Sinai. Moshe vividly describes the awe-inspiring event and encourages Bnei Yisrael to make sure their children and grandchildren know it. Moshe then sets up 3 Ari Mikla for those who kill someone b'shogeg and repeats the Aseres HaDibros. Moshe introduces the Shema, stressing the oneness of Hashem, loving Hashem with all your heart, wearing tefillin, putting up mezuzos, and learning Torah regularly. Finally, Bnei Yisrael are instructed to destroy the Canaanim, their idols, and to avoid intermarriage. Let's move on to a short part from the Ibn Ezra. It's a favorite one of mine, and yes, I know what it sounds like when I say I have a favorite Ibn Ezra. Moving on. The Parsha goes through the Aseres HaDibros, and again we're told, Lo Sachmod Eshes Reyecha, Lo Sasava Beis Reyecha, etc. All the things we shouldn't desire or covet that is not ours. Now, desiring, coveting, these are emotions. How can we be commanded not to feel something? You can say, don't act upon it or something like that, but emotions happen spontaneously. How can we be told, just don't feel it? The Ibn Ezra gives a mashal of a peasant catching a glimpse of a princess. It's nice and wonderful, but not for a moment does he think that the princess might be in his realm of possibility. He doesn't desire or covet. He just acknowledges and possibly appreciates from a distance. The peasant knows who he is. He is a peasant, and that precludes many circumstances and includes many others. He fully understands his place and status, so there's no questioning of having what is outside that. Now, I hear you protesting. I'm protesting too. We're all peasants these days, and yet we all desire multi-million-dollar homes and matching vacations. And hey, look at the royal family. Kate and Meghan were commoners. Why shouldn't we aspire for more? It goes back to the peasant knowing who he is and what his role and place in the world is. He knows the value he brings to his family and the larger economy. He knows what he does for the townspeople and the like. He has a clear identity, and anything outside that identity is irrelevant. Like, for me, purple tutus are cute, but I have a house full of boys. I don't want or need one. The Ibn Ezra is taking a step back and looking at the root of coveting. We don't know who we are, so we keep looking around at others, see what they have, what they want, what their goals are, and we piggyback off of that. If we really knew who we are, what our tafkid is, what we bring to the table, we wouldn't desire anything that was outside of that umbrella. To take care of jealousy and coveting, you gotta know yourself first and what you really want, not what the world tells you to want. And that's how the Torah can command us not to feel an emotion. We just need to do the work before the emotion dear appears. Yeah, I know. Very easy to say. Wishing you a beautiful Shabbos Nachamu. See you next Parsha.
Have questions or comments? Email me at emunah4nr@gmail.com. That's emunah4nr@gmail.com.